Hello, GWA. It's Miss Peg Champ here. So it is currently 3 a.m. and I am trying to do a bunch of things with one questionnaire. So I am in a very, very bad mood because I just got some incredibly bad news. That means I might have to end a 9 year long running D&D campaign that I've been in that I dearly love. I'm very upset about it, but it's totally out of my control. So I thought it would be a good idea for me to sit down and experiment with audio. I have already verified myself on GWA, so obviously I kind of want to get into making audios, but I'm not sure about my ability to record or edit, or even really if I can tolerate the sound of my own voice long enough to edit. So I decided it would be a good idea to unwind and do a questionnaire and answer some of the questions that some of you have actually sent to me, very kindly after I posted a couple of scripts and get my mind off of my woes. So we're gonna go ahead and do that right now. So what I'm gonna do is first I'll answer the questions submitted directly to me, and then I'll do a questionnaire. Already though, I'm noticing a little problem in this recording setup, and that is that I, as soon as I hit the record button, forget how to breathe. I talk all day, every day, nonstop sometimes, and I manage to always pause to breathe, and it's fine. But now, as soon as I sit down and I hit record and I can see the audio lines being created as I speak, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to breathe. What if somebody hears me take a breath? They would know I was human. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. The first question that I've actually decided to answer is one that I've gotten kind of a lot because people have noticed that there's a slight discrepancy between my username and the nature of some of the audios that I have written scripts for. And I wish I had an exciting answer for this. Honestly, I really do. But the simple, very boring truth is that I'm a switch and I've never really felt safe enough to engage with the subbier side of myself. In person, I never in practice liked making myself vulnerable to other people. So when I am at the dungeon or with a partner, I pretty exclusively do femdom stuff. And I love doing that. For me, it's not a 50-50 thing, it's more like a 80-20 situation. So, that's basically why GWA has kind of proven itself to be like the perfect, I guess the perfect safe controlled environment for me to explore those fantasies because they're audios and they're completely anonymous and I can listen to them. And if I don't like an audio, I can just stop listening to it. And writing scripts has been a really fun way for me to explore those feelings and engage with them in a creative way that kind of gets like those like. I don't know if this happens to anybody else, but I will get little fantasies in my head that will play on a loop nonstop. And the best way for me to get it out of my head is to put it on paper. And sometimes that's like a little short story that I just leave in my files and never open again. But with GWA, it's actually been kind of a fun outlet to take those fantasies and try to convert them to a script and then throw it out there. So yeah, I guess that's the that's the explanation anyway for the discrepancy there. The next question I got, this is from somebody who wanted to remain anonymous, is if I had any other writing experience, and if I did, what was it? So, yes, I have other writing experience. I've actually been writing for a very, very long time. I started writing for fun when I was like a little kid. I would write like little weird stories and stuff. And I've been doing it as a hobby ever since. In a lot of different ways. Fan fiction is a really common way to explore writing. But I also just did like little original short stories all the time. And now I'm kind of a paid professional. Like I have a few books published, but that is not something that will be interacting with GWA. That is a pen name that I shan't be sharing with you a lot, but that's okay. It doesn't need to be. These are very different things. And just because you like what I do on GWA doesn't mean you would like my books. There's not really a lot of overlap there between the interests, I think. So, yes, I have a lot of writing experience. The next question is when I actually had to laugh at for like a couple of minutes when I first got it. And it reads, "Do you have any advice for new script writers?" And the reason I think that's so funny is because they're asking somebody who has only posted 3 scripts. That is what I would call a new script writer. So no, I don't really think I do have much in the way of advice, aside from, you know, general writing advice for dialogue. So the thing, one thing I do that might help you that I think more people writing scripts should try to do is I will read my script out loud and I will record myself reading it, and then I will like listen to it and see if anything sounds right. And doing that just enables me to make sure that sentences feel natural coming out of my mouth, like being spoken, and they sound right later going into my ear. And sometimes, especially with GWA scripts, I've noticed that there's like, at least with my writing anyway, I have a habit of kind of like repeating myself in a way that I don't need to with GWA scripts because they're usually pretty short, right? But when you're writing a novel or a script for a movie, you do kind of have to repeat yourself a little bit, right? Like there's a planting, reminder, and payoff in all storytelling. And I was trying to do that a little bit in these GWA scripts, but I don't really need a reminder in these scripts because they're so short. I just have to do planting and payoff. So when I hear it spoken out loud and I'm listening to it, the repetitiveness becomes a little more clear to me. So I like to read them out loud and listen to myself. The other thing, I can advise you to is to remember that people don't speak in a grammatically correct way. So if you're writing something that will be experienced ultimately at the end by the end user as audio or as a movie, if they're not going to be reading the words on paper, basically, then it is important that it not actually be grammatically correct because nobody speaks in a grammatically correct way. And if they do, that's a distinctive character feature. So when you're writing dialogue, don't try to make everybody speak perfectly because humans don't do that. Now, if you're writing something that's going to be experienced by the end user as text, then it needs to be a little more grammatically correct because what sounds right in somebody's head when they're reading it is a little different than what will sound right to their ear when somebody is speaking to them. So it's that discrepancy is kind of something you have to just feel for yourself. But listening to yourself and recording yourself, reading your script and then listening back to it, even if you're just reading it in kind of a monotone, will help a lot. The next question is, where in the world do you live? Now, I'm not going to give a too specific of an area, but it's the west coast of the U.S. And that's the most I'm willing to say. And the only reason I'm willing to say even that much is because I've been getting a lot of messages from people who are clearly on the east coast because they're messaging me at what is like 5 a.m. my time. And they're like, "Hey, good morning." And I'm like, damn, y'all wake up early. And then I'll respond like 3 hours later when I wake up on the West Coast and they're like, "Wow, you slept in late." And I'm like, "Listen, I did sleep in late, but also I'm on the West Coast, you know?" So, yeah, that's about where I am. The next question is, I saw you post on r/tallgirls. If you don't mind me asking, how tall are you? And no, I certainly don't mind you asking. I am 6'3", which is, pretty tall for a girl. It's certainly above average. So that is a little struggle that I deal with every day. I tend to hit my head on stuff a lot. Next question is, how did you find GWA? Well, again, very boring answer here, but through an ex like ages ago. And I actually left the that ex a very long time ago. I haven't spoken to them in years and years and years. But recently, and this is going to reveal a slightly fangirly side of myself, but recently, because of the new Loki show on Disney Plus, some old audios from a GWA user from like 5 years ago called MSA Unta, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Massa Unta, he goes by like Rainy Day Audios now, he did some Loki sound-alike audios on Tumblr. Under the Tumblr, like, that's literally just, like, Tom Hiddleston sound alike. And people have been editing those and, like, putting them up in other places and, like, stitching them together to make longer weirder Loki sound-alike audios because people are horny for Loki, and I loved the Loki show and was am deep into that fandom. So when I heard those audios, I was like, oh, hey, I remember that guy. I remember GWA. That was a good time. I should get back into that. So here I am. The next question is, do you have a favorite voice actor on GWA? And if so, whom and why? And honestly, I want to sit here and hum and haw and pretend like that's a really difficult question for me to answer. But really, it's F. Scott Fitzgerald, like, hands down. I would say it's a tie between him and a few other voice actors. But the other two that I would consider him at a tie with are no longer active. So he wins by default. And I like his stuff because he just makes really good quality audios. He's a good actor. He has a nice quality voice. He has a good, like, recording quality audio. And I just enjoy it. Yeah, sometimes, you know, because GWA is an amateur group for amateurs to have fun and more professional people, the quality tends to be kind of all over the place. You know, sometimes people won't be terribly good actors, or they will have a voice that I don't find terribly appealing, or just the quality of their audio will be, like, you know, like, grainy or unpleasant. And that's not anyone's fault, you know, it's an amateur thing. So people are learning. Certainly the quality of my audio isn't terribly good, and I certainly don't have the nicest voice. So I'm not here to judge anyone who doesn't hit that quality. But yeah, F. Scott Fitzgerald, if you have read any of my scripts and liked them, you'll probably like his audios, and I recommend that you go listen to them. The next question is, where do you get the ideas for your scripts? And honestly, from maladaptive daydreams. Maladaptive daydreaming is something that I've struggled with, like, my entire life, that as far back as I can remember. And sometimes when I find myself stuck in a daydream and that keeps pulling me back in, that I can't, like, get my brain out of, the best way for me to pull myself out of it is to take the daydream out of my head and put it onto paper. And even if I don't do anything with it, even if I don't publish it anywhere or share it with anyone, just the act of doing that helps get it out of my brain and kind of frees me for a little while to, you know, live my life and do other stuff. That's actually why I initially got into writing in general. I just would have little daydreams that I would get stuck in, and sometimes they'd play in a loop until I put them on paper. And I started having a really good time writing, actually. And then that was a way for me to, like, kind of normally share a daydream I had with somebody, because sometimes when you're stuck in a maladaptive daydream and you don't want to be there, sometimes it can feel incredibly isolating to have this incredibly funny thing or story happening that feels genuine to you, but that you can't really share with somebody. Because how do you walk up to somebody and say, like, hey, I had a wild daydream, do you want to hear about it? Because nobody wants to hear about it in that context. So I found the kind of the process of taking one of these daydreams and, like, turning it into a story and then, like, letting it sit on the page for a little while and then coming back later and rereading it to see if it was any good, really, like, fun and cathartic. And it did, like, get it out of my head. So yeah, and that's where I get the ideas for my scripts and, like, all the things I write, actually. All right, so this next question is, can you please read out loud for us the last paragraph you read from the book you are currently reading? That's a clever question, and I'm going to do my best, but let's make it fun. I'm not going to tell you what book it is, and y'all will have to guess what book it is, okay? Here we go. Whew, there aren't really clearly delineated paragraphs in this book, so I'm just going to read, like, and 3/4 of this page. Ahem. This is where another thinking of historicity calls us beyond the metaphysical concept of history and the end of history, whether it be derived from Hegel or from Marx. This is where one could put to work in a more demanding fashion the two moments of the Codevian postscript on post-history and post-historical animals. It would be necessary, of course, to take into account Codev's sometimes genial, often naively joking brochism. Fukuyama does not do so enough, even if the irony of certain provocations does not entirely escape him. But it would have also been necessary to analyze, with all possible rigor, the numerous chronological and logical articulations of that long and famous footnote, as he tells us in the postscript to his note, Codev went to Japan in 1959. And that is where I will stop. you can tell me what book that's from, then good for you. Okay, so the final question that I'm willing to answer is, can we send you horny messages? And the answer is yes, but I might not respond if you like go too far. I might not respond, or if I'm just not in the mood. That's the big one. I just simply might not be in the mood. So I might not respond. It's nothing personal. It just depends on my personal mood, which is, you know, pretty fickle. So please, if you send me a horny message and you don't get a response, do not feel bad. So now I am going to do the Awake at Midnight questionnaire because I am bored and I am awake at midnight and I like attention. So let's just do that now. So the first question is, what's a noise that you love? When hearing it, how does it make you feel? And the first noise that jumps to mind for me is the sound of rain on a tent. That like pitter patter, that like kind of loud, but somehow also soft sound of rain on the top of a tent. I love it. It relaxes me, puts me to sleep right away. And it feels like, this is going to sound horrifying, but please bear with me. It sounds like, it feels to me like somebody is putting their, it's like somebody came up behind me and they put their fingers on like the base of my skull, like with their pointer fingers right on the edge of my spine, and then like pushed their fingers into my head and up and started massaging the back of my brain. But not in a painful way. Like, it doesn't hurt, you know? It's like, it feels good. So they somehow did that without causing me pain. It feels like Vision from the MCU phased his fingers through my skull and massaged my brain in a way that didn't hurt. If that makes sense. Next question is, on the contrary, is there a noise that never fails to irritate you? And yes, this is going to sound very strange for anybody who's read my scripts, but whenever a man, unprompted, and this isn't true of audios on GWA, but if we're in person and a man unprompted refers to himself as daddy to me, oh, it feels like somebody took a spider and taped knives to all of its legs, and then that spider with its knife feet crawled up my back. That's what it feels like. I'm just like, no. It makes me want to enact violence against that man. And I hate it. And that's really the only sound that I cannot stand. Oh, that and the sound of my dog licking herself. And she'll just do that for hours. And I hate it. I'm constantly yelling at her to stop. The next question is, what's a sensation that gives you goosebumps? Does it need to be in a certain context to work? Well, honestly, a lot of situations give me goosebumps because, like, it's a physiological response to certain stimuli, right? So, I guess cold will give me goosebumps. I guess because this is GWA, I should think of something horny. When my partner moans, that's always kind of nice. That can give me goosebumps. Yeah. That's the sexy answer. Okay. Do you have a piece of clothing that is extra special to you? What about it makes it so unique? Well, since I've already revealed myself to be a little bit fandom trash, I do, actually. I have a t-shirt with the Super Hulock logo on it, and I can't even say that with a straight face because I'm embarrassed. It represents a deeply cringy period in my life where, I remember that time fondly. I was very cringy, and I am embarrassed when I remember what I was like at that period in my life. But I also look back on it fondly because I was having fun. So while I will never be seen wearing this shirt in public, I hold on to it for the memories. Next question is, what food do you like or would you like to share with somebody else? What about this food makes it fun to share? Well, that's an interesting question because I just like cooking for people in general. I'm over 30 and Jewish, so whenever anybody enters my house, the first thing I ask them is, have they eaten and are they hungry? And then if they don't give me a satisfactory answer, I will feed them because it's unacceptable for people to leave my home hungry. If I like that person. If I dislike them, they don't get food. They don't even get water. But I don't usually have people in my house that I don't like. I just like cooking for people, especially if it's a dish I'm particularly good at making. I enjoy making it for them, and seeing somebody enjoy a meal I cooked is kind of satisfying. I guess you could say my love language is acts of service, cooking, or gifts, food. I'm not sure what category that would fall under. But yeah, I just like cooking and making sure people are fed. The younger punk friends that I feed through some of my mutual aid stuff have jokingly started calling me mom. They say you have mom vibes because as soon as anybody comes over, you're trying to feed them. And that's fair. You know, it's a cultural thing. I can't help it. Next question is, what is your go-to snack or treat to regain your energy after being naughty? Well, depends on the kind of naughty, but I honestly just like whatever's easiest. I wish I could think of something, you know, really delicious and special that makes me sound exotic, but like whatever is available and fairly easy and like tasty and filling. Right now, if I went into the other room and like fucked my girlfriend's brains out, the meal we would have afterwards would be to eat some of the chicken salad in the fridge. That's just today. It depends on what's available. Is there a food that you're really craving right now? If not, what's one food that you often crave? Yes, right now I am craving Mountain Dew because I love soda and sugar, and I have stopped letting myself drink any of it, and I'm still in that like sugar caffeine withdrawal phase. So I am crazy craving Mountain Dew specifically, which is strange since I don't usually drink that anyway, but I've really been wanting some Mountain Dew. And generally anything sweet. Are there any recurring themes or situations in your dreams? Why do you think they keep happening, and what do they mean? Ooh, this is an interesting one. So I'm going to try to keep it short because somebody very wise once said that if you can't summarize your dream in under 30 seconds, then it's boring. So I only have one reoccurring dream. And I only ever have it when I'm feeling particularly stressed out about something. So I know it's a stress dream. But in this dream, I wake up and I am just a cat. And not in a sexy pet play way. I am like a literal cat. But I've got my human-ass human brain and a cat body. And for some reason, I decide that I will travel the 1,000 miles or whatever it is to California and live with my friend who spoils his cats. So I'm like, oh, if I'm stuck being a cat, I'm going to go live with my friend who spoils his cats. And the majority of the dream is just me like traversing dangerous areas to try to get to California. Like there's always a point where I have to get past a train before it hits me and like cross a busy road and like a river and like a mountainy wide open, like natural, you know, national forest or something. And I like never actually make it to this friend's house. It's just me trying to. It's like I was Sassy from Homeward Bound, but I was all alone and didn't have some dogs to do everything for me. Has something strange happened to you while you were sleeping? Was it scary, sexy, or funny? Well, actually, I have narcolepsy, so yes. Specifically, I have narcolepsy with cataplexia and a few other comorbidities. That means that when I have an episode or a spell, I like generally can't be woken up. And I kind of go limp, and the cataplexy will like keep me kind of unable to move for a little while. So yes, a lot of things have happened to me while I was sleeping, and it's almost always very scary, and I don't like it. And the next question is, are you a nap person? Do they make you feel energized, or do they mess you up? Well, like I said, I have narcolepsy, so yes, I am a nap person, and I usually actually feel pretty good after a nap. Like the hour after a nap is generally like pretty good. I have a lot more energy than usual, and then I just suddenly start to get quite tired again for no reason. That's of course when I'm not on my medicine. Usually I feel pretty good and function throughout the day perfectly normally when I have my medicine, but every now and then, you know, as is the case with most stimulants, you have to skip a day here and there to make sure that you don't build up too much of an immunity for it. So on off days, I'm a big napper, but on days, not as much because the stimulant's keeping me awake. And that is the end of the questionnaire. And I don't think I actually mentioned what this questionnaire was before I started doing it, which is very bad questionnaire filling. This is the Awake at Midnight questionnaire by the Untiring Tire. And this was posted like 4 months ago to GWA Backstage. I will post a link to it in the main audio so that y'all can do it too. But I thought that was really interesting. And these were a lot of questions that I didn't see, like some of the more popular voice actors fill. So I wanted to fill it because I thought it was fun and I like attention. So that's the whole thing. Thanks for listening. If you somehow got through all the way to the end, good job. Go give yourself a cookie. You deserve it.